Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, 635. I am Austin Hill. Thank you for listening. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm here weekday morning, 6 till 8. And still to come, we've got some very good news about marriage. Yes, husbands and wives actually committing till death do they part, actually. Shanti Feldhahn, a noted researcher and a prolific author and public speaker, she'll be joining our program. She's quite a statistician. A lot of people don't realize this, but by training, I think I've got my facts straight on this, by training, she's actually an economist and a statistician. And so she knows how to crunch the numbers and come up with the data. Shanti Feldhahn joining us into the 7 o'clock hour. Also, some of the biblical reasons why a concern and a care for the nation of Israel is warranted in the year 2014. We'll talk about that forthcoming here on Austin Hill in the Morning. With the religion of Islam and self-described, self-proclaimed Muslims around the world seemingly in a state of resurgence and tremendous growth, and with Islam even on the rise here in the United States and throughout the Western world, it may come as a surprise to some that there actually is such a thing as a former Muslim. Joining me to talk about this conversion, if you will, a gentleman who was born into a Muslim family and encouraged to study the Quran and Islam as a child. Over the course of a years-long investigation into the historical and philosophical underpinnings of the world's major religions, my guest discovered that the only evidence for the historic Christian faith could withstand the toughest challenges. He's author of a great new book. It's called Grand Central Questions. Abdu Murray joins us on the guest line. And Abdu Murray, welcome back to the Faith Radio Network. Good to talk to you, sir.
Oh, it's great to be on. Thanks for having me so much.
Grand Central Questions. That's a great title. What exactly are you seeking to accomplish with this book?
Well, really, I wrote it for two audiences. I always do everything for two audiences, really, Christians and non-Christians alike. I think Christians tended to get a little bit paralyzed in their efforts to share their faith. They felt like they need to know everything about someone else's worldview in order to share. So if they want to talk to a Muslim, they need to know everything about Islam before they can begin to have a credible conversation, for example, or secular humanism or pantheism or these other worldviews. And what I tried to show in Grand Central Question is that all you really need to do is be able to answer a grand central question that worldview is trying to answer. And if you can do that from a gospel center, if you can understand the important question that someone has from a different worldview, and then you be able to answer that from a gospel-centered view, you can begin to affirm the question that the person has while offering them the answer that Jesus provides.
That's
one of the things. But the second thing is to show people who aren't Christians that the gospel is credible, and it looks at their question and says, I have an answer for that. And if you consider it, you just might see Jesus in a different light.
Mm-hmm. What are maybe one or two of the grand central questions, as it were, that I guess Islam purports to answer and practitioners of the Islamic faith believe that they possess that you think can be answered in a better way through Christianity? Give us an example.
Well, growing up as a Muslim, I believed in a central idea of Islam. The central idea of Islam is God's greatness. All of us hear this idea of Allahu Akbar. You know, we hear this phrase, and then usually in the media, something explodes when everyone says Allahu Akbar. But Muslims use this all the time. They use this phrase all the time, and it literally means God is greater. Mm-hmm. So God's greatness is the central tenet of Islam. As a Muslim, I used to reject fundamental Christian doctrines because I thought that the Trinity and Incarnation and the cross all insulted God's greatness. But in the book, I show that the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the cross are the very things that demonstrate his greatness. So for our Muslim friends who want to know, how can I worship a God who is great? I think the gospel and its central claims are the answers to knowing a God who is truly great.
Hmm. Abdu Murray, he was raised in the Islamic faith. He is now a Christian. His latest book is called Grand Central Questions. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Is it safe to say, and I want to be very careful about this, but please pick this apart and break it down as you see fit, Abdu. Is it safe to say that is a point of agreement between Christians and Muslims? In as much as, when you say God is great as a Christian, I say, well, he certainly is. Thanks for saying so. I mean, Is that a point of agreement for Christians and Muslims universally?
I think it is. It really is. And it's a great place upon which we can jump off. It's a platform that we can commonly share. But we jump off on the discussion to discuss our differences. And it's the discussion of our differences that really, you know, sort of makes the difference. Mm-hmm. Our commonalities are the place where we can come and talk, because a Muslim truly does want to worship a God who is great. And they sincerely believe, and they've been taught to believe, that the important Christian doctrines are the things that insult his greatness. But if we can say, I share a common value with you, and that is the idea that I want to share, and I want to believe in a God who isn't some imaginative sort of creation, but someone who is truly a manifestation of that which is great.
Right.
We can have that commonality with our Muslim friends, and then we can say, look, God is great because he's triune. That the idea of God being one in his nature and three in his persons shows something, that he doesn't need anyone else to be a being in relationship, for example. And our Muslim friends have that in common with us.
Yeah.
They believe in a God who is relational. Every chapter of the Quran, except for one, begins with the phrase that God is beneficent and merciful. Those are relational qualities. And so we share that in common with our Muslim friends. But here's the thing. If God is one in his nature and one in his person, then when he existed by himself, when there was no other creation but himself, he
yes.
existed alone. He needed us. He needed something else to be relational. That's not a God who is great, but a God who is great is someone who doesn't need anyone else to be great. And the Trinity shows a God who is inherently relational, someone who doesn't need anybody else to be relational. He can be who he is without us, and that's a God who is great, for example.
Abdu Murray, author of Grand Central Questions, with us here on the Faith Radio Network. When you characterize God as beneficent, and I presume closely akin to that, we would want to say that God is loving and forgiving. Abdu, as a Christian who doesn't understand the Islamic faith nearly as well as I should or as well as I wish I did, it strikes me that Muslims are not following a God of love or beneficence, if you will. It just, on the surface anyway, it appears to me that they are enslaved to some understanding of God that is tyrannical in many ways. Comment on that, if you would. I'm sure you've probably heard something to that effect before.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And to be clear, a lot of Muslims don't really understand the fundamental doctrines or fundamental documents of their own faith.
Okay.
So they live in a state of cognitive dissonance. They have a God that they wish were true and a God that their documents actually describe. And sometimes that's different. So most Muslims are just walking around wanting to live a normal life like you and I are. They're not twisting their mustaches, thinking of ways to blow up airports. They're just actually living a normal life like you and I are. But they wish that the God that they followed was a God of unconditional love, a God of ultimate beneficence, and a God of sort of this loving God. But their documents don't describe him that way. And so they do live in this state where they have this sort of tyrannical view or this tyrannical God. His love is very conditional. The idea of Islam itself means submission. And a Muslim is one who submits. Now, we submit to God, of course, as Christians as well. But they believe that our relationship with God is characterized as master and servant only, and that's it. There's no intimacy there at all. Whereas in the gospel, we have a view of God as a friend. Not only is he our master and our king, but he's also our friend, so he transcends these categories for us. Muslims wish that were true, and the gospel actually tells you that it is.
Hmm. Abdu Murray, he is the author of Grand Central Questions, and Abdu, I'm going to ask you to just hang on for a moment. I need to take a quick break, but I want to dialogue with you further. We actually have at least a couple of copies of the book Grand Central Questions that we'll give away coming up here in just a few moments. Grand Central Questions, Abdu Murray, the author of the book. He is a man who was raised in a Muslim family, encouraged to study the Quran and the Islamic faith. He is now a born-again Christian and is answering some of the tough questions of our time. We'll continue in just a moment. 644, this is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Don't go anywhere. I want to live with the best. 646. This is the Austin Hill in the Morning program on the Faith Radio Network. Coming up into the 7 o'clock hour, some very good news about marriage, men and women actually staying together and loving it. That's at least part of what I suspect we'll hear about. Shanti Feldhahn, noted and prolific author and researcher, joins us into the 7 o'clock hour. Also, some thoughts on why Israel matters to Christians in the United States today. My guest, Abdu Murray, he is the author of Grand Central Questions. We'll give away some copies of that book coming up here in just a few moments. Mr. Murray was born into a Muslim family. He is now a Christian. Abdu, tell us what's another, yet another one of the Grand Central Questions that the Islamic faith, in your view, seeks to address, and the Christian faith addresses it as well.
Well, one of the other important questions, all worldviews try to answer four fundamental questions. How did we get here? Or, is there a God? What is the purpose of life? What explains the human condition? Why are things the way they are? And is there a salvation? Is there a way out of this mess, mm-hmm. so to speak? And that last one is an important one as well, because, of course, everyone's looking for a way out. Whether you're an atheist or a pantheist or a Muslim or a Christian, whatever, you're trying to look for a way to say, things are a mess down here. How in the world can we sort of either attain salvation or fix things down here? Now, the way in which Islam answers that question is very much akin to how everybody else answers that question. How do we please God? Well, Islam tells us that we have to do it through our works, that we have to do it through a series of very complicated laws and the way we pray and where we pray to and how we pray exactly. It's highly ritualized, highly stylized. So the idea is, how do we understand who God is and how do we please him? Because he's our master and we're the slave. We have to act slave-like. But the problem there is that when you have a God who is sort of maximally just, this God who Islam believes is perfect, so he's maximally just, but he's also maximally merciful. The tension here is this. How is God maximally just in that he always punishes sin for what it is, and he gives you what you deserve, so to speak, but also maximally merciful is that he forgives you your sin? How can he do both without compromising either one? Because if he just forgives sin because you're sorry, well, then he's not maximally just because he doesn't give sin what it deserves. But if he's maximally merciful, maximally just, then he's not merciful. How does he do both? And so a Muslim has this state of tension as well to say, how can I have a God who's perfect without compromise? But again, the gospel comes in and tells us how this is true, because the cross is the ultimate explanation of this, that on the cross it was sin that was punished. Sin actually did get it what it deserved. In the terms of Jesus being imputed our sin, and he took it upon himself as a matter of actual history. Mm-hmm. This happens. So he actually does, in fact, get the punishment meted out upon him. So justice is served. But mercy is simultaneously served in that he is the one who takes it, and we don't. Now, a Muslim might say, well, how's that fair? Well, it's fair because Jesus chose to go through that. We do this all the time in the law. We have something called a guarantor. Someone can guarantee a lease, for example. You have bad credit and I have great credit, let's say.
Right.
And a landlord says, I'm not going to give you a lease, or I'm not going to give you this loan or whatever it is, unless someone who's got perfect credit signs for you and takes upon that obligation upon themselves. And then when you default on the lease or on the loan, that guarantor who's got perfect credit steps in and says, I'll pay it. I'll take care of it. And that's what Jesus does. He is our sort of cosmic and heavenly guarantor. And so justice and mercy are served at the same time. What is deserved is given, but what is not, that which is mercy, is also given at the cross. Because Muslims believe in a thing called earned mercy. Well, earned mercy is a contradiction in terms. But the central question of how can we attain God's salvation is answered in the gospel without compromising the God who gives that salvation.
Hmm. Abdu Murray, author of Grand Central Questions, will give you a chance to win a copy of his book coming up here in just a few moments. Abdu, I've got just about a minute left, 90 seconds, but I want to pose this question. Help us understand, apart from the apologetic component of your work, which is very thoughtful, and I do hope you'll come back and join us again another time, but recognizing, as I'm sure you do, we live in an era where Muslims are portrayed as people who will kill relentlessly and viciously in the name of Allah. They want nothing to do with the Western world or tolerance or diversity. They don't even seem to embrace one another all that well, but certainly nobody else that might happen to follow a different understanding of God or a different philosophy, if you will. That's the face of Islam, at least in the Western world today. And those are, again, self-proclaimed Muslims that I'm characterizing here. I'm not labeling them that way. These are people who say, I'm following the teachings of the Quran. I'm doing what I'm doing in the name of Allah. Help us understand that just briefly, if you would.
Sure. We can't be naive about these things and not ignore those facts. I mean, that is out there, and there certainly are militants, and they do find some justification in the Quran for their actions. That's true. But there's also a tension because there's other verses in the Quran that seem to be very peaceful and peace-loving, and so there's this constant, it's a bit of a contradiction in the Quran, and the later verses are the ones that advocate violence. Most Muslims, your listeners will probably never run into a militant Muslim who's interested in hurting them. By far, the majority of Muslims just sort of want to live a peaceful life, have grandkids and enjoy them, and then, you know, sort of retire and pass on and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. That's the vast majority of Muslims throughout the world, in fact. They're just looking to sort of believe in God and worship God and move on with their lives and hopefully be a good person. They have this very strong sense of morality. In fact, some of the most moral people I know are actually Muslims. So we can't be afraid of them. We can't have sort of this fear that they're always trying to get at us or get to us. They're not. Most of them don't have this ambition even remotely. They love talking about religion. They love talking about politics. And we can engage with them in those without a fear that they're trying to get us, because by far, most of them are not.
And
we can't be naive, but we also can't be fearful.
And that's a point where we'll have to end at this time. Let's pick up where we've left off here. I hope you'll join us again very soon. Abdu Murray, author of Grand Central Questions. Find him at his organizational website, embracethetruth.org. Abdu Murray, thanks so much. We appreciate what you do, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.